being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we've got Cindy McLeish with us, our local MP. How are you, Cindy?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's terrific. Cindy, tell me, I've just got to ask you one question. I think last time you were on was your birthday on the day, but you were going off to play...
Hockey.
Now, seeing it was your birthday, did you get a win for your birthday?
I don't think we did.
Oh, no.
We've had a couple of losses. We played one team. Oh, it's what happens. One club or one team pulled out and they had to redo the whole fixtures, and it's just we ended up playing the same team twice. We lost 2 weeks in a row, so I think one of those was my birthday.
Oh, no, that's no good. Cindy, Volunteer Week was, I think, last week. And I think I think at one stage I read a report, this is a few years ago, that volunteers, if any government had to pay for them, the work they do, they couldn't possibly, because it's in the billions of dollars a year of if you had to pay for that time, isn't there?
It is, absolutely. And a lot of people volunteer without even really thinking about how it is that they volunteer and what it is that they do. You know, we've got some pretty simple reminders locally because we see the CFA, we see them out, we see them training, you know, we see them attending, you know, fires and things like that, or, you know, on the roads. Same with the SES, and we have enough situations and issues in the Yarra Valley,
yep,
near Upper Yarra, to see them. They're the ones that we see easily. You know, then we have places like Hickey or Link that help, you know, kind of link in with things like Second Bite to help make sure that,
yep,
people aren't going without. And then you think about our, you know, Rotary, Lions clubs, and, you know, you'd know yourself, you've got your Lions. When you eventually move...
Cheer that, Greg.
When you move to Healesville, and it looks a bit bare in the behind you there now, Alan.
Does it?
It does. But, you know, you've got the Lions are right there with their shop right next to the studio.
Yep.
And the work that they do as a volunteer organisation, as Rotary does as a volunteer organisation. And I'm assuming that you're on the payroll at Yarra Valley FM, Alan.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure,
you know,
of that.
Community radio.
Yep. Football, cricket. You know, all the committees and all the different sports. Soccer. You know, I mean, they're all people that do it just for the love of helping, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. They do that for the love of helping, but it's a little bit more than that,
yep,
because it's about that connectedness,
yep,
and about inclusion. And for some people, you know, like where they don't have strong family relationships, sometimes they do, and their family has to come down to the sports club, the soccer club, to see them.
Just to see them.
You know, but you see life memberships given, and yep, to people that have donated so much time. You know, it's the same with our service organisations, even the RSL.
Yep.
You know, people do a lot of great work, and they raise money because you don't always have government funds there to help out. So they have events, and, you know, they do sausage sizzles in the street. They do all those sorts of things to raise money to help, you know, it might be with the Lions, you know, with the polio. For example, I think that's what, you know, they used to do the sausage sizzle in Wurrialik on the Saturday mornings.
Yep. And the other thing is too, and you were just talking about the CFA and the SES and all these people, some of those people are out till 1 and 2 in the morning, and then they've got to get up and go to a job too. I mean, they're not being paid. They're doing this and still have to hold down a full-time job.
Yes, I remember one of the... the unit controller, I think, at Alexandra told me one night they were rescuing a kid who'd broken a bone in the cathedral range, and they had to go in at night. So they had to hike in an hour or so and pick up the kid and then take them out. And the teacher said to them, well, you're all right, you're all on overtime. And and it was from the city. And I was a bit shocked to think that they think that our rescue services,
yeah,
are all paid. And They were quite shocked, and it just reminded me that we really do need to talk more frequently about the work that volunteers do, because, you know, you can't have people just thinking, oh, yes, you know, no problem, they're on overtime in the middle of the night, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. But, you know, they'll attend road accidents as well. Yep. And then when, you know, people are out on the fire ground, people are cooking all the meals. Some of the brigades, I think Hoddles has got a catering trailer so that they can provide meals for people on the ground. And it's not free for them to do this. You know, they've got to raise money to do it. The government will help out a little way. But, you know, you always see them having fundraisers, yep, and the dinners and different things, raffles to try and just help offset the cost. We have people that actually mow the grass sometimes in areas that where councils don't mow it as frequently as they perhaps could, or whether the government doesn't keep it up, and people want it to look good. So some of the locals get out there and work and just keep their areas looking better.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's so many areas where people volunteer and, you know, they get so much out of it. And you hear that every time someone becomes a life member, you know, of what they've got out of it.
Totally agree. Just got to take a quick break, Cindy, and we'll be back with more. That was Irene Cara and Breakdance. And I have with me Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you'd like to go on a little bit longer with the volunteers, because I just want to tell you a quick story, and I know you know a lot more stories than I do, but I was talking to somebody who 2 or 3 years ago went to the fires and as a CFA member, and they came back, and I was talking to them, and he said, well, that's my year's holidays gone. No more, like nothing else for the next 12 months. And I mean, what a terrific thing for a person to give up, you know, their whole 4 weeks holidays.
Did they go interstate or international for that?
No, I think they went down to Marimbula Way, down that way somewhere.
Yeah, right.
And they were away from home, but it's just unbelievable. And I don't think people always realise how much some of these volunteers give up.
No, exactly. You're completely right. you know, get up in the middle of the night sometimes. They might have sleepless nights. You know, you're putting on an event, for example. You've got a big event at the football netball club or wherever, or you've got, you know, trying – like I'll just think about Yarra Glen Football Club, Cricket Club at the minute, you know, with the floods that it came in and they're still not open. And for the clubs, it was devastating, you know, like the water came in and it sat – couldn't get away, and then it all started to go mouldy, and then they had to close it off as being, you know, a health hazard. It had to be assessed by the council. And all the time, the footy and netball club are trying to get teams on the field, on the court. And they're dealing with council all the time, and the insurance companies say, well, what are we going to get? What needs to be happen? When's it going to be open? How do we have, you know, training? Can we have training in the meantime? Where can we have our club rooms? And I think that the bowls club or somewhere the council organised for them to be able to use at no cost. But, you know, the stress on all of the committee trying to get a team on the, you know, teams on the pitch sort of thing, whilst their club rooms are in, you know, major, you know, poor state. They've had to pull the floors up and cut off, you know, the plasterboard at a certain level and get it all redone. And, you know, the club are looking for new rooms, but the damage wasn't enough to demolish it. So, you know, and this is stressful. Oh, so absolutely. You sort of think, maybe some people don't want to do that sort of stuff, but they do it because they love the club. They love their communities.
Yep. And we were going to talk about the benefits, but now we've talked about all of that.
Well, look, you know, it's interesting because there are so many benefits, and one of the ones that I talked about, you know, is if people are lonely, you know, in rural populations, it's easier to be a little bit more on your own, and volunteering can be a great way to get involved and to see other people regularly and, you know, fill that spot and at the same time give you such a sense of achievement and well-being.
And one of the other things too is that I know there's been a number of reports done about social isolation, about people as they get older, if they withdraw from the community as such. I mean, it's the health risks are huge, aren't they?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of research that shows you about the, you know, the evidence on mental health and general physical well-being of being involved in any sort of volunteering role. But it also gives opportunities for leadership, which can help in your paid life as well.
Yep.
So if you've taken on a role, let's say, you know, at your, not anyone, if you're the secretary of a sporting club or a Rotary, you know, doing these sorts of things, it gives you opportunities to learn how to engage with people better, how to speak in public. And I think of Sue Carpenter, who was fairly shy and yay. She was a member of Rotary, and she took on Rotary president. And she said it got her out of her comfort zone. Yeah. And then it got her so far out of her comfort zone that she put her hand up for council. And she's been a councillor and including the mayor. But it gave her the confidence, you know, in that leadership role to actually then become a community leader. And you see this in lots of areas. And for younger people, it's great to have on your CV, yes, I'm secretary of this club, I'm president of that, or I've been involved in an ongoing basis. And people go, wow, that's a really great attribute to have. So, you know, there's just no downside to volunteering.
And very often too, when you're involved in volunteering like Rotary or Lions or any of those, you have some great mentors there as well, don't you? Particularly if you're a young person, there's always somebody that's done it, that's prepared to help.
That's right. And there'll be someone who'll take you under their shoulder. And I remember, you know, going to a place the first time, you know, I've joined a sporting club where I didn't know anybody. I know everyone now. But, you know, when I was younger, I didn't know anyone. Yep. And it's first that person who comes up to you when you walk into training and says, hi, you know, I'm such and such. And, you know, you talk and then you start and eventually, you know, you become part of the furniture. And it's a great sense of, you know, I've had a great sense of enjoyment by playing sport, but being involved on committee level. And I guess that you've done that too. But sadly, things for volunteers, organisations that rely on volunteers, haven't returned.
No, that's something we probably need to mention, isn't it? That when COVID a lot dropped out, and particularly some of the older people, just haven't got back into it at all, have they?
No, and we're still finding now that people change habits and they change what they do. So it's kind of like going to a supermarket. If your supermarket's shut or some, you know, the shop that you go to and you have to go somewhere, they say if you go somewhere else three times, that's enough to change your behaviour. So if you weren't involved in getting up and going out during that couple of years of COVID, well, your behaviour may have changed and you might not get back. And some people were still worried, but volunteer organisations are screaming for people to re-engage and get back.
And it is the backbone of our society too.
Totally. Totally.
I'm just going to take a quick break, Cindy, and we'll be back with more. And, of course, at 2 o'clock we'll have Choice Tunes, and then at 3 o'clock Greg Carrick will be along with the Oz Indie Show. Cindy, you want to talk, and I'm talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, you'd like to talk a bit about the road issues, which seem to be ongoing.
The road issues are ongoing, but the good news is, you know, since the middle of October last year, now the Warburton Highway, just out of Warby, and everyone will know because they'll be travelling it, is open in both directions. But what I want to talk about is how resilient the community were during that whole time, because, you know, it was during the period of floods when the roads were wet that, you know, a section of the Warburton Highway subsided, you know, fell, basically caved in.
Yep.
And you had a really long distance. You had one lane open, but they had the traffic quite a long way in either direction because they didn't want the traffic to sit on the road in case the road was weak, you know, nearby as well. So they kept it. Yeah, and, you know, and it was tough because they had one lane for so long. And over summer when the government were looking at fixing it, the traders particularly said, look, you know, we're running businesses here. This is our busiest time of the year. This is where we make the money to make up for, you know, not much going on in June and July and August.
Yeah.
You know, so the government were good. They said, okay, we'll hold it off. So there were some bit of delays while you're at the traffic lights there with that one lane. But then they had to eventually had to fix it and close the road, and everybody knew it had to be closed. So everybody had to work out what to do and how to do it. And I think once, you know, they had a community meeting, 140 people, maybe more, turned up at Warby at the hall a few weeks beforehand, and they had to work out how to get the school kids to school because, you know, the bypass, which was the old Warby Road, well, not every vehicle was able to go on that.
I don't think the trucks were either, were they?
No.
Go another way, yep.
Well, if you needed a truck, they had a very long detour through the forest. But, you know, they've had the timber harvesting trucks go through those forest tracks for ages, so they would have been fine. But for the school buses, you know, the way where kids got dropped off at the Oval and then they ferried smaller mini buses, you know, the community and the government, they worked together and worked it out. And I didn't hear one issue once it started. The roadwork started, and then they opened one lane again, and then they opened two in a really short, sharp period. So I really just wanted to congratulate everybody involved, and particularly the people of Warburton who had to travel every day through that, you know, through one lane, and then when it was closed. Now, the old Warburton Highway got chopped up.
I bet it did.
Quite a bit because, you know, it's not used to that degree of traffic. And, you know, I know the council, and that's a council road. So the council had to kind of pick up from what the, you know, from the government's work, where, you know, the government had to fix and pay for the Warburton Highway. But then the council road got worse as a result. So they've had to work together. And I think there's still a bit of repair works to go on the old Warburton Road. But I'm sure everybody up there is really glad not to see them.
and to get the people out amongst the shopping again, too.
Yeah, absolutely, to get people moving. And it was really important during that period that for people to know that Warburton was still open. I think there was only one little hiccup at the start where they had security stopping, like, where are you going? Why are you doing that? And that got back to saying to Department of Transport, say, okay, no, hang on, we still want people to go to Warburton. That's okay, but they have to go this way. Yep. Don't say Warburton's closed because that would be the worst outcome. So congratulations to everybody there. That's been it's been a good outcome, a long time coming.
Yep.
But they got there.
Oh, that's the main thing. And I guess you're still taking complaints about some of the roads around here as well with the potholes, your office is?
Yep, it's never ending. It's never ending, the potholes, because as soon as one gets, you know, fixed, another one opens up. And you know, we have had a lot of rain, and that does make it harder. But when you haven't had to invest when we had long periods of dry,
yep.
You know, I think that the government and Vic Roads forget that you still need to have that money in the bank for the rainy day. Because it's going to come. The potholes are going to open. The shoulders are going to crumble.
All right. I'll just take one more quick break, and I'll be back with more, Cindy.
Sure.
I'm not you in the rain.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking with our local MP, Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you'd like to talk about the Upper Yarra RSL and their ANZAC. They always put on a good event up there, don't they?
It was the children's service that they put on. And it's one of my favourite events of the year. And the RSL do such a good job coordinating all of the local schools.
Right.
And so they all come down there, and every kid, it's not all school kids, it's the grade six kids. So there's quite a lot of kids, you know, when you're extending from East Warburton to Wurrialik and Don Valley, everywhere in between, Hoddles Creek. And they get all of the kids together and they all have a role and they all get up and they have to speak in front of everybody. Now, you know, they like to have it outdoors. Things aren't always perfect.
Doesn't always work.
Didn't work. Didn't work, so it ended up having to be indoors. And they've had it indoors before.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just a little bit more cosy and the kids lay their wreaths and the kids talk about various things that they've researched.
So they do their own research, do they, the young people?
Yeah, they get the schools, obviously, you know, have them to do that. But and we had just trying to remember some of the different things that they talk about, you know, but they might talk about the role of women in the war. They might talk about the role of animals in war. They might talk about where they landed and what happened and some of, you know, how many people lost their lives or some people will bring it back locally. So they all have to do their bit. And, like, it was terrific. And this year there was only, I'm trying to remember his name, lovely kid that hosted it. The MC was the only grade six from Hoddles Creek. And he did such a good job.
That's so terrific.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just locals that turn up to it and the Upper Yarra RSL, but they had Robert Webster, who's, you know, from RSL in the city. He's the CEO there. So he comes out, and he comes out often as well. And they, you know, the adults have no role, really. The kids don't have no lives, you know. But it's just such a great, initiative, and I really enjoy it. But what I really like is seeing how the kids are involved, and every year that this happens, and with the services that happen with the dawn services, that the kids are reminded about war, so it's not forgotten and it's not for nothing that, you know, they'll think, oh gosh, that was 100 years ago, who cares?
Yep.
You know, it did play a role in our lives and our freedom.
And it, like, it's a terrific that the Upper Yarra don't just run it as a lot of these do, that just the adults. So the young people are really involved in it, and particularly have an MC, like, that'd be terrific for a young person.
It is. And, you know, and all, because all of the kids have to get up and speak at the microphone, and they've all got different levels of confidence.
Yep.
But they all do it so well, and they know what to do and when to do it. But it brings together all of the kids from all of the schools. And what I forgot to mention is the Upper Yarra Secondary College, they have a role as well in organising and coordinating the kids, and there's the sausage sizzle that there, so the kids have a drink and a sausage sizzle. So it's also a bit of a day out, but for the morning, they all turn up in the buses. But with the older kids there too, they get a sense and are reminded of it as well. There's only a handful of secondary students that turn up. But, you know, like, it's terrific.
Well, and obviously by the sound of it, like, the children have a fair bit of input into the day as well, not just a case of coming along and listening to some older person tell them about it. By the sound of it, they put a lot of effort into it themselves.
They do, and that's what's good, you know, that the schools know it's on every year. Yep. And it was a bit awkward this year because of school holidays, the timing of school holidays with Anzac Day and the kids not being at school to have, you know, a lot of time to work on their material and all of that. So they just do a lovely job. It's just really one of my favourite days.
No, that's terrific. Cindy, we've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we go?
Tonight I'm heading to the Nillimbik Council for their volunteer recognition awards. Yeah, so that's always a good night. But, you know, again, and I've talked about these organisations locally before, you know, with the Millgrove Residents Action Group and Reef to McMahon's Creek Action Group, you know, those groups have really tried to make improvements to their local community. We've had great chambers of commerce in the past. Cedar at Warburton, you know, they've got Cleo from Silver's Coffee. She's, you know, a young woman that's taking on that role. And Healesville, they had a couple of issues with robberies and things like that, and it's prompted the community, the traders, to get together and work out how they can have, you know, better security, but also better things for the street too. So, and finally, yep, on Sunday morning, I'm at Coronation Park in Healesville planting trees. It's something that gets organised every year, and I usually go and do one of the land care things. And again, you know, the people that run the land care do a great job getting out there volunteering, planting trees, and make sure that, you know, it's terrific for us.
Oh, that's great.
Environment, what people love.
What time are you there on Sunday morning?
It says it's from 9:30 till 12, so I'll probably be there 9:30 till 10:30, 11, something like that.
People should come along and join in, should they?
Yes, yes. I'm not sure whether you have to register, but there are often these programs around, and it's a good thing for, you know, if you like getting your hands dirty, maybe you don't have a garden anymore, that you can go along, and many hands make light work, and you can get a lot of trees planted pretty quickly. Which is what I've told my daughter. Come on, help plant some more trees, you know, that we've got.
and again, it brings back, like on a day like that, there's some really comradeship, isn't there? The people are there, and, you know, they're talking to each other and about a variety of different things, and yeah, probably having a good time at the same time.
Yeah, and, you know, you have people that have been that are newer to the area,
yep,
that sometimes look to do something like this, to meet a couple of people and, to, as I said, you know, to get out and volunteer.
Can't do better than that.
No so downsides.
No, well, there's not, is there, on something like that?
None at all.
Sydney, unfortunately, I think our time is just about gone, and we thank you for your time again. And hopefully, Greg tells me by next month we should be at Healesville, so hopefully we might see you in the studio.
You told me that last month.
I've been telling people that since January. Well, you were at the opening. When was that? Back in about March?
A couple of months ago.
It's that long ago, I forgot.
It was a hot day. It was a really hot day.
It was a nice day, though, too. Sydney, we thank you for your time yet again. And we look forward to talking to you next month. And
no worries.
I'm sure we'll be talking to you. You'll have a lot of other things going on between now and then.
No worries.
Cindy, again, I guess just before we go, the last few seconds, is if people get the opportunity, why don't they volunteer?
Yeah.
You know.
And why don't they? There's a different, and you can even volunteer by helping your neighbour.
Absolutely. And sometimes that's probably the best way. All right, no thanks, worries. Cindy. I've got to go. I'll see you next month.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.